It was a very cruel scene, executed in an unusual manner.
Hey, cruel coven.
Hello, my little slices of heaven.
Happy 2022.
It's 2022. Wow. 2022.
And we're back.
We've missed you.
We really have missed you. We've missed doing this. We've missed diving and digging into the cases, and we're so glad to be back, and we are revamping things a little bit. So as you may, you know what? I'm just going to say, as you know, because I've been getting messages on social media for months mm-hmm. about where we have been.
We really don't have a good reason for our hiatus. No, we do. And I'm going to call that reason mental health. It feels like overnight, both of our husbands went to night shift. They work very long night shifts. And there was so much going on that we had to pump the brakes a little bit. We might have had minor breakdowns, me especially.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a good time.
No.
2021, not a good time.
No, I may, dare I say, that 2021 might have been worse than 2020.
Yeah.
I think it's just like this collective length of time, mm-hmm. right? And we were not doing well.
No.
And so we both knew that we had to step back for a little bit.
Because what kind of hypocrites would we be if we talk about mental health constantly,
constantly.
And don't practice what we preach?
Right.
We'd be big, fat hypocrites.
Big, fat hypocrites.
So, I mean, that's really it. That's all there is to it. But there was a lot of good that came out of it.
There was a lot of good that came out of it. And not just the fact that we worked on ourselves, but we also worked on our friendship.
Mm-hmm.
We worked on our families.
Mm-hmm.
We worked on revamping our other business.
Right.
And we've done the right thing for us.
Right. Yep.
We are going to get right into the case today, but listen until the end because we have a bunch of announcements about
where the hell we've been and where the hell we're going.
Yes.
All right. So are you ready, Tori?
I'm ready.
All right. Let's do this.
Jelani Day was reported missing from the town of Bloomington, Normal, Illinois, on August 25th of 2021. The last time he was seen was the day before, on August 24th, and by August 26th, his abandoned car was located approximately 60 miles away in the town of Peru, Illinois. The car was without license plates, and while it's reported it was in a wooded area, which is sort of true, there were also homes around it, as well as the local YMCA. So it wasn't in the middle of the woods somewhere. Like, when I picture woods, I'm thinking a bunch of trees in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. That's not the case here.
Right. We went there, and we'll talk about this later, but it was not what I was picturing.
No, not at all. The fact that remains is Peru was not a town that Jelani had any business being in. He didn't have ties to the area, and it was an hour away from where he lived. With no sign of Jelani, and with his car being abandoned without license plates, in an area that he would have no reasonable need to be in, something wasn't adding up. And still, 5 months since Jelani Day's disappearance, the family has questions that remain unanswered. Let's get into the heartbreaking case of Jelani Day. Jelani Jesse Javonte Day was born on June 15th of 1996 in Danville, Illinois, to Carmen Bolden Day and Savay Day. Danville, Illinois has a population of around 30,000 people, and it was found to be the sixth most dangerous metro area in the United States in the year of 2020, and the most dangerous metro area in Illinois. Carmen and Savay's family consisted of five children, of which Jelani was the second youngest. Jelani had two brothers, DeAndre and Savay, and two sisters, Dakara Bolden and Zena Day. Jelani's family is said to be religious, and he was known to be quite active in his church, Saint Synagogue Church of God in Christ. Jelani was known for being part of his church choir, he was in purity class, he was on the drill team, and he participated in vacation Bible school while growing up. On August 29th, a statement was made on the Saint Synagogue COGIC Facebook page. Quote, "We, the Saint Synagogue Church family, want the Day family to know we've been fasting and praying for you and your family. Jelani is a part of us. He attended our Zoom Bible study on Tuesdays when he could. If things weren't clear, he would ask questions for clarity. We're hurting with you and want you to know that the situation is in God's hands. Let us all stay prayerful and look to God. We love you and are here for you and your family." End quote. Gloria Bolden, Jelani's grandmother and Carmen Bolden Day's mother, commented on this post thanking the church.
Jelani went above and beyond for his friends and his community and also his family. When his father found out he had cancer and it was possible that Jelani may be a bone marrow match for him, Jelani was tested, was a match, and ended up making bone marrow donations for his father. Bone marrow donation isn't a simple task. A lot of us know how giving blood works, and I know the school that Tori and I attended, they would come and they would get people to sign up to give blood at the school. And we would go in, sit down, have our blood taken, and get like juice and cookies. For bone marrow, things are a little bit different, if you don't know. The donor must get injections of a medicine prior to the donation, which increases the number of stem cells in the donor's blood. The injected medication can cause side effects that are different in everyone, but the most common being muscle aches and pains, bone pain, headaches, nausea, fatigue, and vomiting. The donation is done under general or regional anesthetic, so while the donor doesn't experience pain while donating bone marrow, it's still a huge task.
Yeah, and the whole, like, thing, even down to the bone pain, It just sounds miserable. And the fact that Jelani, he did it without question.
He didn't even blink.
No.
Yeah.
I feel like it speaks volumes about his character.
Absolutely. Jelani was known for being outgoing, smart, outspoken, and most of all, friendly. He would strike up conversation with anyone and wouldn't hesitate to give what he had to someone in need. The potential Jelani exhibited was off the charts. He was so intelligent and hardworking and wasn't known to give up or quit anything easily. All of these traits made Jelani who he was. He ended up going for his undergrad in Huntsville, Alabama, at the University of Alabama A&M. Jelani graduated at the top of all of his classes, and he earned a bachelor's degree in communicative sciences and disorders. This is from the Alabama A&M website. Quote, "The purpose of the Communicative Sciences and Disorders program is to provide an education and scholarly environment in which undergraduate and graduate students receive quality academic training and professional experience in the field of speech-language pathology. The CSD program functions within a student-centered environment devoted to learning, research, scholarship, creativity, professional expertise, and personal development designed to ensure that students are ethical, knowledgeable, skillful, and capable of working independently and in collaboration with clients, families, and other professionals." End quote.
So basically anyone who is in this program, it's known for being difficult
and intense.
And this is the bachelor's. We haven't even told you the rest of it yet.
No.
This is a very strict program.
Mm-hmm. I can't even begin to like fathom how much work that is and how dedicated you have to be.
And he was very far away from his family at this point. So he was in Alabama. His family was in Illinois. And just knowing how close he is with his family, his career meant a lot to him for him to be gone for that many years.
Yeah.
Pursuing it.
Jelani then went on to pursue his Master's of Science in Speech and Language Pathology at Illinois State University in Normal, Illinois. His dream was to become Dr. Jelani Jesse Javonte Day. The field he was in was extremely competitive and known for being a difficult field to succeed in. However, Jelani was doing it. He was excelling at it. From the time he was young, he was interested in the speech pathology field because he had a friend named Paul who had speech difficulties and he was bullied for it. So Jelani knew that he wanted to help people like his friend Paul, and he was determined to help other children and adults to not feel the way Paul felt. It had left a lasting impression on him that he couldn't ignore and didn't want to.
Jelani was a complex person. He was someone interested in a variety of things, and he was skillful and talented at all of them. He ran for the track team. He was a talented swimmer. He was a member of the House Arrest 2 champion dance team. He was also a proud member of the prestigious Omega Psi Phi fraternity, Nu Epsilon chapter of Alabama A&M University, and 100 Black Men of Greater Huntsville. Part of their mission is to, quote, emphasized the national focus on mentoring, education, health and wellness, and economic empowerment to empower youth to reach their fullest potential, end quote. This is directly from their website. They conduct a lot of mentoring to young Black men, as well as do a lot of community service in the area as well. Aside from all of these different accomplishments and talents, Jelani was still a young man, and he loved to travel, cook, crack jokes, and have fun, living his life to the fullest every single day. While humble, Jelani was also very proud of himself, as he should have been. While he was proud of himself for his achievements, it said that his parents and family were just that much prouder. According to Jelani's obituary, Jelani's dream was to, quote, marry a chocolate woman and have 6 children, one of them as his namesake. He dreamed of bringing his children to his mom so she could spoil them. He wanted to make sure that his parents were taken care of and provided for, which is why he devoted a lot of his time to ensuring his father was looked after and taken care of currently while battling health issues, end quote. This past fall, so as we're recording this, the fall of 2021, was his first semester at Illinois State University. And for clarification purposes, we're going to be talking about multiple cities while covering this case. He was living in an off-campus apartment in Bloomington. Many people refer to the two cities of Bloomington and Normal, which are adjacent to one another, as Bloomington-Normal.
Or Blono.
On the city's website, they say they are home to 167,699 people. That's very precise. And that they are within 2 hours of Chicago, Illinois, St. Louis, and Indianapolis. Now, the other two cities that we will be talking about are LaSalle and Peru, Illinois, often referred to as LaSalle-Peru.
Or LP.
Or LP, for the same reason. So when you do your own research on this case, or when you hear other people talking about it, you may hear any of these four cities being used interchangeably.
Mm-hmm. Jelani loved quality time with his family, and he was very close to his parents and siblings. He made the trek from Bloomington to his hometown of Danville as often as he could. The drive was roughly 1 hour and 20 minutes. It's said he was incredibly close to Carmen, his mother, and he would call her multiple times a day. In recent interviews, Carmen has shared that she would jokingly and lovingly refer to Jelani as her bill collector. And up until that last week of August in 2021, life seemed to be pretty normal for the family. Carmen was receiving her phone calls, communicating with her son, and life was continuing on as it always did. Jelani was attending his classes and communicating with his family and friends as usual. But then, on August 24th of 2021, Jelani didn't show up for his class. For those that knew Jelani Day, they knew that that wasn't a normal occurrence. He didn't do that. Jelani took pride in his education, and he wouldn't miss class for no reason. He didn't skip school. It just wasn't like him. He was also set to have a meeting with Kara Boaster, the director of clinical education at ISU. Jelani and Kara had exchanged text messages the night before their scheduled meeting, which would have been on the night of August 23rd of 2021. Jelani never showed up for the meeting, despite confirming it with Kara Boaster. She sent him a text to check in on him, and she didn't get a response, which was also unlike Jelani. He didn't keep people waiting on him, and he was effective with communicating with those who he had plans with. Once Jelani missed their scheduled meeting and didn't show up for his class, and Kara found out, she contacted the ISU campus police, knowing something wasn't right and trusting that gut instinct that told her she needed to advocate for Jelani. On August 25th of 2021, Jelani was officially reported missing. Carmen started looking back in her phone and realized that her last communication with her son was on August 23rd, the same day he had been texting with Kara. Carmen had been busy planning for an upcoming trip, so on August 24th, it didn't occur to her that she hadn't spoken to Jelani on that day. Jelani's oldest brother ended up going with the police to search his off-campus apartment, and the only thing they knew to be missing was Jelani's white Chrysler 300. The investigation into Jelani Day's disappearance was formally initiated on August 25th of 2021. Jelani's last known whereabouts were August 24th of 2021, and there were 2 publicly known sightings of him.
On August 24th at 7:20 in the morning, Jelani was captured on surveillance footage at the Bone Student Center on ISU campus while wearing a blue button-up shirt, black pants, black dress shoes, a belt, and a blue face mask. Then, at 9:12 in the morning, so just about roughly 2 hours later, he was captured on surveillance footage again, this time at the Beyond Hello dispensary on Veterans Parkway in Bloomington. Now, there was one thing drastically different from the surveillance footage on campus and then the surveillance footage at the dispensary: his outfit. So at the footage at the dispensary, he was wearing a blue Detroit Lions baseball hat, a Jimi Hendrix t-shirt, black shoes with white soles, and light colored shorts. In some of the captured footage, you can see his white Chrysler 300 in the parking lot, but it's the back end of the vehicle, so you can't see if anyone else is inside of it. And that has been a question that people have been asking.
Right.
Was he alone when he went there? In one of the captured images from Beyond Hello, he's actually looking directly into one of the security cameras. There has been a lot of speculation about this image, the one of him looking directly at the camera. Armchair detectives have gone wild over it, saying that he knew something was wrong or something was happening and that he wanted to be seen on the footage. And while it's impossible to debunk that, it's important to also say that some dispensaries have their patrons look into a camera.
Mm-hmm. Also, if I'm out and about, this isn't about me, but if I'm out and about and I notice a security camera, I look at it. I can't not look at it. I have to.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes when you see a camera, you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what you do, but at least for us.
I mean, it also could very well swing the other way, though.
Right.
It could have been what people are speculating it to be.
Yes, exactly. So there's a multitude of reasons why he could have potentially looked at the camera. But in our opinions, it does do more harm than good to speculate and to throw those speculations out there when there's a case that's active and ongoing.
Right.
Another speculation that the public has kind of latched onto is the fact that Jelani changed the outfit during those 2 hours, like we talked about. So between the security footage on campus and then the footage at the dispensary, people are questioning why he would do this, which could also have a multitude of reasons behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps he had a break in his classes, which actually we knew he did not have any kind of class or commitments until 1 o'clock that afternoon there. So some people believe that he just didn't want to stay in dress clothes for those hours between being on campus at 7 and then being back there at 1.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah, and I know that personally, I would 100% go home and change my clothes and not wear a stiff button-up dress shirt and dress pants if I was going to be home or running around for hours.
Immediately. You get out of that immediately.
However, some people don't agree, and they cannot understand why, if he had another class or obligation to attend that afternoon, why he would change his clothes. At the beginning of the investigation into Jelani Day, investigators stated that they did not have a reason to suspect that there was any foul play involved, despite being told by his family that it was extremely out of character for him to just up and vanish, ignore his family, his friends, and his schooling. On August 25th of 2021, Jelani was considered only a missing person. Police said that perhaps he was just under a lot of stress. He had just started the new semester at a new school. But Carmen said that there was a lack of urgency from the very beginning with the Bloomington police.
On Tuesday, August 26th, Peru, Illinois police officers found Jelani's white Chrysler 300 in what is described as a wooded area. It was found roughly 60 miles from Bloomington, just south of the city's YMCA and north of the intersection of 12th Street and West Clocks Avenue. Law enforcement stated they conducted an extensive canine search, which also included an aerial search and a ground search of the location around where Jelani's car was found. The outfit that Jelani was wearing in the Beyond Hello dispensary photos was also found. What they did not find were his phone, his wallet, or his license plates, which immediately, to many people, was a sign of foul play. Why would Jelani take his license plates off of his car? That's weird.
Yeah, there are so many different theories that we have speculated in our own heads that we're not going to be talking about on here,
mm-hmm.
but none of them make sense when you think about the license plates.
Right. It's like, oh, this theory could be it. But then, like, you get another piece of information and nope, that doesn't, you know, it
exactly.
doesn't work. Yeah, it's just strange.
So Katie and I actually drove out there mm-hmm. so we could kind of see everything with our own eyes before we talked about it with you.
Right.
And it's not super far from us, hour and a half.
If that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
45 minutes, it doesn't really matter. But it took us a little bit to find it, mm-hmm. first of all. We were getting turned around. We weren't sure. We found the YMCA first. And we saw that wooded area that they were talking about, mm-hmm. which there is. There's trees.
If you want to call it a wooded area, sure. Fine. Fine.
Sure.
But there's a steep incline. So you pull into the YMCA parking lot and you can park right along the tree line there. And it's immediately like downhill.
Yeah.
So it's like, how would his car have gotten down there? But then we found this, the intersection.
The West Clocks and 12th.
Yes, yes. And that made a lot more sense because that's like at the bottom of the incline and on the other side of those trees.
Right. But it's also in a very residential area.
Yes.
There are houses everywhere, yes. at that intersection. It's a very strange intersection. It's kind, mm-hmm. of like a three-way intersection,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
It was like a road with a road that runs through it that connects with that road.
Yeah.
It's very hard to put into words, but I think we might have a picture.
We do have some pictures, yes.
Yeah.
There's like a little gravel pull-off spot. And there are trails that you could walk, and it's maybe, what, 30, 40 feet until you hit the YMCA parking lot,
yeah.
from that side.
The wooded area that they're talking about,
yeah.
it's not like what you would think of.
Yeah, it's not like a car stashed like deep in the forest.
Right.
Like, right, you know, like how you would think of like right by the river, like the
right.
thick trees. It's just a little patch of woods.
Right. It's literally houses in a residential area, and then the YMCA,
yeah.
up on like the hill.
Yeah, it's not what I was imagining. So
not
just,
at all.
Just to give you guys a better picture. Investigators have since issued a statement asking the public if anyone in the area, assuming that they mean anywhere between Bloomington Normal and LaSalle, Peru, has seen the white Chrysler 300 between the hours of 9:15 a.m. on August 24th of 2021 and 4:20 p.m. on August 26th, 2021. Apparently, some of the investigators also felt the same way. John Furman, a BPD officer with 10 years in the field, said he found it, quote-unquote, incredibly unusual for a car to be found where it was, left on a wooded path that was a dead end. Carmen told people publicly that there would be no reason for Jelani to be in Peru. He has no ties there, as we stated in the beginning of the episode. Nothing was adding up. On Friday, August 27th, the Bloomington Police Department announced to the public that they had found Jelani's vehicle and noted that Jelani was now, quote, missing under unexplained circumstances. One of our first thoughts was, well, doesn't anyone have security footage or, like, cameras near the scene? Because there are houses. You would think that somebody would in this day and age.
Right. You would think that, I mean, you guys, when we say that there are a multitude of houses right there are, like, houses from three different streets that have an angle,
yeah, facing, of that area. Facing the area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and I know that there must not have been anything that they caught, because I know Carmen was going door to door.
Yeah.
From my understanding, there hasn't been anyone that has come forward with him on footage.
There was footage from someone living in a home in LaSalle that was turned over to the police, but the family said that the man who was seen knocking on a door and then leaving the residence on August 25th was not Jelani. So speaking of Jelani's family, Jelani's mother, Carmen, has been very proactive in his case. She said she received a phone call 2 days after he was reported missing. It was a Friday, and the detective had called her to tell her that he was headed home for the weekend, and he would reconnect with her the next week. That struck an already fragile nerve in Carmen, because she couldn't understand how the investigation was just going to be paused. Shouldn't someone else be working on it then while he was gone? It didn't make any sense. Just because it's a weekend, that doesn't mean that we should stop searching in an active missing persons case. It hurt her, and rightfully so, and it's something that she's spoken publicly about during interviews since Jelani's disappearance.
That phone call she received from the detective was just another force that was driving her to really take the investigation into her own hands. She said she felt like she needed to start her own search. Carmen started posting about Jelani on social media. A GoFundMe was set up, and a $25,000 plus reward was announced by Carmen. We're going to take a look at the timeline in regards to Jelani's case. On August 31st, a Facebook page was created to aid in the search efforts for Jelani. It's titled Justice for Jelani Day. And it is still active today as we are recording this in January of 2022. On Wednesday, September 1st of 2021, Carmen and her family conducted their own search. A post from the Justice for Jelani Day's Facebook page reads, quote, "With the help of recent discoveries, we are having a search party today, meeting at Beyond Hello in Bloomington, Illinois, 1525 North Veterans Parkway at 12 o'clock p.m. I know this is last minute and many might not be able to come, but in the meantime, please continue to pray and spread awareness. Hashtag Find Jelani Day." End quote. On September 2nd, his wallet was found, and there's conflicting information being spread about this as well. It was reportedly found in some bushes in the sale, but then there was another report saying that a younger girl said that there was a tall black man wearing red, and he had the wallet and dropped it, and she turned it in. It's also said that the police found it, so there's multiple stories being spread out there about this. There was also an ISU lanyard found laying on the ground, and some people have said it was his, but there's other people who say that it belonged to a different ISU student, which is just strange.
It is, but there's also, you think about how many kids go to that school from the area.
On September 3rd, over 100 people from the Bloomington area community came together at the Bone Student Center at ISU, where Carmen and other members of the family spoke about Jelani. There was a quote-unquote search party being planned on September 4th, but a post on the Facebook page read the following, quote, "I am aware of the search party tomorrow in Peru. However, we will not be assisting in that search. I need bodies to go door to door in the area to help me find anyone that has cameras. We will take addresses and give this information to the police. I will make an announcement on the time this evening. Thank you all. He's everybody's son. Make this personal." End quote. Another post that was put up on September 4th as well on the page said the following, quote, "What can you constructively do right now? One, pray. And two, please think before you share or post anything and be considerate. Jelani and his family are real people." End quote. I just felt like it was important to share that status update on here, mm-hmm. because I think, and we've actually said it in this episode, it's true that people are quick to spread information that is not confirmed and that can actually be extremely detrimental to an ongoing case.
Yeah. And when you think about it, a lot of the cases that we talk about were before social media, but this family has a voice and a platform now.
Right.
And they can tell you what they want, and you have to honor that. You do.
That was one of the things that we, and I'm sure we'll talk about this at the end of the episode, but that was one of the things that we felt very strongly about when deciding that we were going to research this case, was we want to do the family and Jelani justice. And we were, honestly, we were worried that we wouldn't because mm-hmm. it is an ongoing case.
Right. So on the morning of September 4th, a search team found an unidentified body floating off of the south bank of the Illinois River near the 251 bridge. It was approximately 1 mile away from the car, Jelani's car, and there was no identifying information on the body. So police did not comment on who it could potentially be. The body was so decomposed that the police said it would take days before they could positively ID it. The average temperature was around 100 degrees Fahrenheit at this time. They said an investigative autopsy would be conducted on that Sunday and that it would be conducted by the LaSalle County Coroner's Office. The police put out a statement asking people not to speculate or make assumptions. Carmen was hoping the police could make the ID quickly, so she provided them with Jelani's dental records. Despite the records, it took 3 long weeks before a positive identification was made. On September 20th of 2021, the police made an announcement saying they had still not identified the body. It wasn't until September 23rd that the family was informed that the body found was, in fact, the body of Jelani Day. They released the following statement via the Facebook page that same day, quote, "There are no words to clearly communicate our devastation. We learned this morning from the LaSalle County Coroner the deceased man found in Peru, Illinois on Saturday, September 4th, is Jelani. Our hearts are so broken. We ask that you continue to pray for our family during what will be very hard days ahead. Throughout these 30 days, our very first concern was finding Jelani, and now we need to find out what happened to Jelani Day. At this moment, there are more questions than answers surrounding Jelani's disappearance and death, and that is where we will focus our energy. As of this moment, we do not know what happened to Jelani, and we will not stop until we do. End quote. During those 3 weeks, Carmen felt that there wasn't enough being done. She had called twice during those 3 weeks with no callbacks. She has gone on to say the coroner was disrespectful. He reportedly said to her something along the lines of, "Do you want to find out if this is your son or not?"
Which is just so maddening and disrespectful and frustrating. Mm-hmm.
You just don't act that way.
Mm-mm.
Carmen and her family decided to hire a private investigator to try and aid in the process of finding out what happened to Jelani.
There was another case getting all of the media attention at this time. We will not be talking about that case during this episode because honestly, that case has gotten so much attention and coverage, and this episode is dedicated to Jelani. The only reason we're even mentioning that there was this other case that was getting the attention is because there were statements made about how this case was getting all of the media attention, and it simply was not fair to Jelani. Carmen made it clear that she wasn't upset that the other case was getting attention or coverage, but she wanted Jelani to be getting the same attention and coverage, and he was not. She went on the Tamron Hall show to discuss Jelani, his case, and what Carmen said is, quote, "the racial disparity of missing persons of color," end quote. Jelani's family, while heartbroken, were quick to work on celebrating his life and remembering the person he was and the person he could have been. They set up different memorial events and posted a schedule for the community, as well as his friends and his family, so they could all attend. On October 8th of 2021, they held a balloon release in Peru, Illinois. On Saturday, October 9th, there was an Omega Sci-Fi Memorial Service in the Danville High School Auditorium at 10 in the morning, and at 12 was the Celebration of Life for Jelani, which was also held in the Danville High School Auditorium where he graduated high school from. The commemoration of life that was organized by his family ended up being a four-hour-long service where dozens and dozens of people spoke about Jelani, who he was, and shared memories of him. On October 25th, an official report from the LaSalle County Coroner's Office was released. Prior to this announcement, there were two autopsies conducted. The first was performed by forensic pathologist Scott Denton on September 5th, the day after Jelani's body was pulled out of the river. Scott Denton ruled that Jelani's cause of death was drowning. There was, according to Denton, no evidence to support that there was any damage or trauma to the body prior to going into the river. Severe decomposition was found to be the result of turtle and fish. It was also reported that soft tissue around the eyes was missing.
So, where he was found, like we stated, it was about a mile from where his car was found. It's walkable, but we don't know why or how he ended up in that river.
Right. Which is part of the main issue that Carmen has with the investigation is we need to know how Jelani got from beyond hello to that river.
Right.
What happened? Why was his car dispersed in an area that he would never go in? Why was his body in a river in a place that he would never go in?
Right.
Why were his clothes found in one spot, his license plate not found on his car, his wallet found in another spot, his phone in another spot? There's so many questions, and the family just does not feel like law enforcement wants to find the answers to these questions.
Right. It's almost as if, like, from my perspective at least, watching it play out because we live here, it's like, do you not think this is weird, police? Like,
right.
It's almost as if they're acting like it's normal.
Right.
And none of that is normal.
And I feel like the minute that police heard from this coroner that drowning was his cause of death, it was like, okay.
Yep.
We're going to slap this label on it,
right,
and the case is going to be done. We can move on. And that's not fair.
Even if he did die of drowning, which is what they concluded, why was he there? How did he get into the river? Why would he have gone into the river?
How did he drown?
It doesn't make sense.
Right.
So I just kind of wanted to, like, clarify. So I just kind of wanted to, like, lay it all for you guys one more time, all in one chunk there.
There are a lot of moving and missing pieces of this horrific puzzle, and it's kind of hard to keep track of.
Yeah. So the second autopsy was conducted by Sergio Saratella, who was hired by Father Michael Fledger of St. Sabrina Church. Father Michael is both a Catholic priest and a social activist. This autopsy was an independent autopsy that was conducted after Father Michael came forward and said he was angry about the lack of attention Jelani's case was getting. Father Michael also donated $10,000 toward the private investigation of this case. When Sergio performed his independent autopsy, he had not read the report from the LaSalle County coroner in hopes that he could perform an objective view of the case. He also found there to be no damage to the body prior to the drowning. However, that doesn't tell us why he drowned. Sergio collected DNA samples and said that Mother Nature dealt a difficult hand because Jelani's remains were in the water for 11 days. And between the river washing away evidence, the heat, the water, it made things very difficult during the autopsy. He said that his team found no obvious signs of external trauma to the body, but that it's impossible to say that no harm came to Jelani. So I feel like if you can't tell, then you can't say that it didn't happen.
Exactly.
While the autopsies had some similar findings, there were also discrepancies. One report said that Carmen was told by the independent pathologist that he was shocked by the first pathologist protocol. When this was made public, the LaSalle County coroner made no comment.
There was an article published on October 8th by John W. Fountain from the Chicago Sun-Times that got a lot of attention due to the wording in said article. Quote, heartbreaking for sure. The corpse had no eyeballs, only sockets. The river's water had run her course, soaking the body through and through. The body was missing its front, top, and bottom teeth. Day and Besner said, citing a second autopsy performed by a private forensic pathologist at the request of the family, his jawbone had been, quote-unquote, sawed out. The family's private forensic pathologist could find no brain, according to Day and her attorney, no organs, neither liver nor spleen. Besner said the LaSalle County coroner had explained that, according to their pathology report, the organs were, quote-unquote, completely liquefied. The body had suffered innumerable fish and turtle bites and was maggot-infested, said Besner, citing information both she and Day said they received from the LaSalle County Coroner's Office, which has not yet released its autopsy report to the family, according to Day and Besner. End quote. So, some parts of that article are very hard to read and very hard to think about and picture such a beautiful, handsome, intelligent young man, how to picture him looking like that and his body to be like that.
It did shed more light onto why it took so long to identify him.
Right.
That's right. For sure. But it caused kind of a shitstorm.
There was a big, big, big social media uproar with this article. Some aspects really made it sound different from how they were. Jelani's organs were removed during the initial autopsy and not put back. Social media platforms ended up sharing this article from John W. Fountain, which was good for the media attention for Jelani's case, but also not ideal because some of the information that ended up spreading as a result of this article, it ended up being very inaccurate.
Mm-hmm. On October 11th, Carmen made a post about it on the Facebook page that reads in part, quote, some things need and have to be clarified. No organs were missing. I do not want to stray off from the facts. There were contradicting facts from the first preliminary autopsy compared to the second independent autopsy, but this is not a case of organ harvesting. However, my son did not put himself in a river. My son was murdered, and my goal and purpose are to find out what happened and to hold those responsible accountable. End quote. On October 12th, Carmen had to make yet another statement on the Facebook page because there was still so much confusion and misinterpretation. Quote, nowhere in this article did it say the eyes or the organs were removed. My previous post was written because I was and continue to constantly receive messages and questions about organ harvesting, which again, I said, was not the case. This article is accurate. However, as people do, they take what they want out of a conversation, in this case an article, and say or quote things incorrectly. John Fountain is telling Jelani's story, and so far he's done that accurately, with grace and honesty, and I approve. The information that he has written, he did in fact get from me based on my understanding of the two differing preliminary autopsy reports by two differing pathologists. Please know this author's sole purpose is to shed light on Jelani's story and to help me find justice for Jelani Day. I don't know if any of you even remotely consider how draining and emotional this is for my entire family. We are not okay. I'm not okay. So please continue to pray with and for us. Pray for the entire community and people that are helping us seek answers. So that means let's pray for each other as we continue to find out what happened to my baby.
So those rumors, right, about the organ harvesting and his jawbone being sawed out, intentionally sawed out, like what they saw, they were perpetuated because of this article. However, Carmen stands by John Fountain and the authorship going on here because John Fountain did talk to her and did get these things from her and then turned it into a story for the Chicago Sun-Times. And then the media, as they do, took it and they ran with it. Mm-hmm. So his jawbone was sawed off and there was no eyeballs in the sockets and his bones were liquefied. They took this as his organs were harvested and someone sawed out his jawbone and this is what we need. These are the kind of leads that we need to be looking into now, as opposed to taking there were turtle and fish bites as, oh, and the water, you know, mm-hmm. and saying, oh, perhaps it was from the water. The decomposition was because it was so hot out and because the fish and the turtles were gnawing at him. Instead, the media liked the alternative and they ran with it.
Yeah. I mean, it got me too. I read that and I was shocked. I was like, someone did that to him.
And I was upset with John Fountain at first.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of podcasters and YouTubers who have been, who apparently maybe have not read Carmen's post about how she stands by him. Because at first, that's how I took it, too. I took it as, oh, someone sawed out his jawbone and he didn't have eyeballs in his sockets.
Right.
But that's not what the author did not say. Someone took out his socket, mm-hmm. his eyeballs, or someone sawed off his jawbone. The author was just saying the information that he was given from Carmen. And Carmen was just saying the information that she was given from the LaSalle County coroner.
Yeah, I think it's really important to clarify.
On October 25th, Coroner Richard Plotch stated the cause of death was drowning, but the manner was unknown. He said that the body showed no evidence of external trauma prior to death. He said there is no specific way to determine drowning, so it is done by a rule-it-out system. So when you drown, obviously, your lungs and your body is filling up with water, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you don't know the manner of drowning, if someone did it to themselves, if someone was held underwater, if someone accidentally drowned in an ocean somewhere, you don't know the manner. So as opposed to like being hit over the head with a sledgehammer, where you can see the cut on the head and you know what instrument did it, with drowning, they simply use the rule it out system. And there's a lot of information on that online if you want to get into it. Jelani's body tested positive for nicotine, cannabis, and caffeine, all legal substances in Illinois. On October 26th, a post was put up on the Justice for Jelani Day page stating the following in reaction reportedly to the coroner's cause of death finding. Quote, "The cause of death is drowning. Duh. He was found face down in a river. I don't care what their press releases say. My baby was killed. He did not drown himself. He could swim. He was an avid swimmer, and swimmers do not, in general, commit suicide by drowning. Jelani lived a promising, fulfilling, happy life. He had goals, dreams, and aspirations. He showed and demonstrated positive traits. He was hopeful and helpful, determined about his future. He believed in God. He had great faith and a strong upbringing in the church. He's never had suicide attempts in the past, didn't have mental health issues, which are all indicators of a suicidal person. My son didn't ever show those indicators. An individual who has had no history ever of suicidal ideations, thoughts, or attempts is not likely to commit suicide in the future. None of this garbage that Peru or LaSalle is releasing and wants us to believe applies to Jelani. If he had had suicidal attempts in the past, if he had had experience with mental health therapists in the past, which could support this disrespectful, insensitive, lazy narrative, then maybe I could see or even consider this crap, but he did not, and I will never allow anyone to apply that narrative to my son. You will not lie on his name. These police departments want an easy way out. They didn't do their job, so they want to look at the surface details. The evidence doesn't add up. The facts don't add up. I'm not letting up. I'm not giving up. And I'm not settling for these BS conclusions that make no sense. End quote. In the post, they then go on to question the Bloomington Police Departments and the LaSalle and Peru Police Departments the following questions. Quote, what cameras did you check within a 48-hour time frame? Who did you question? What evidence, leads, or suspects did you look into? What effort did you make to find my baby within the first critical 48 hours of him missing? What search efforts did you make? Why didn't you ask for help prior to September 23rd, 2021, when you knew that you were incapable of doing what was necessary to locate Jelani? Why was Jelani disregarded? Why were you a bunch of lazy law enforcement officers who did the bare minimum? End quote.
My thing too is we don't see a lot of murders in this area. There aren't a lot of missing people that aren't found quickly. And if they didn't know what they were doing, if that was the case, then just say so.
Exactly. Then, like they said, reach out, ask for help, inform people that you do not have that scope available to you, that's not in your wheelhouse. You do not have the skills to adequately investigate a potential homicide.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't do that. If you're a police officer, if you're a detective, an investigator, you work for the FBI, you're dealing with people's lives, you have to check your ego.
Yeah.
You have to. But so many of them don't.
Reverend Jesse Jackson and the Rainbow Push Coalition organized a march for October 26th to pressure law enforcement to keep digging and keep investigating. They demanded the case be picked up by the FBI, and more than 200 people showed up. A second march was conducted on November 5th with the same goal in mind. On October 27th, it was announced that Illinois First District Congressman Bobby Rush called on Attorney General Merrick Garland to investigate Jelani's case. In a letter to Merrick Garland, Congressman Rush pointed out other black men who have been reported missing, like Daniel Robinson and Douglas Westby. He wrote in part, quote, "The urgency of these cases and our continued shared interest in justice are the most compelling reasons to launch a federal investigation into the disappearance and death of Jelani Day and the increased number of victims of color around the country. It is critical that you do everything in your power to ensure that all missing people are afforded the same level of attention, regardless of their race." End quote. Peru police handed over files on November 28th to the FBI. The FBI announced they would not be taking on the case at this point. Just to backtrack a little bit here, on October 1st, 2021, Fox 32 Chicago published a short article that read, quote, "The FBI is now involved in the death of Illinois graduate student Jelani Day. It is what his family wanted since the day he went missing, but they are not pleased with how investigators are approaching the case." According to this article, the Day family attorney, Haley Besner, said, quote, "Right now we have more questions than answers, and we need to start getting some answers for our questions before we know the next steps. It took days for authorities to send in a search team to look for the missing 25-year-old, and almost a month to identify his body once it was discovered. Now his mother is angry that instead of tracking down suspects, the FBI is looking at Jelani's case as a potential suicide. He had a sound mind. He was not troubled by anything. We had just spoken on Monday. We have a family vacation that's planned for Thanksgiving. We were planning for that vacation, said Mother Carmen Bolden Day. Maybe we don't jump to a conclusion that this was a suicide before we know. I think that's what happened here, Besner added.
And to that, Carmen released a statement via the Justice for Jelani Day Facebook page. Quote, "This article is incorrect. I have not spoken to anyone in the FBI. Nobody. I have made my statements plain, clear, and concise. To be misquoted like this is insulting. Again, the narrative that Jelani would do anything to himself came from and was inferred by Peru and Bloomington police departments. Again, I need help from the FBI, the FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation, and I have yet to speak to anyone from the FBI." End quote.
Imagine how frustrating that is.
Right.
Not only have you lost your child.
Right.
But there's so much misinformation. Oh, according to this article, the FBI is on the case. And they're not. They weren't.
They were never. And in fact, the FBI said that they were not picking up the case.
Right. So where are people getting this stuff? And why is it being put out there?
And how frustrating, like you said, how frustrating and sad and heartbreaking must it be for Carmen and her family to have not only lost their son, he's gone. He passed away. But have zero answers.
Right.
And even more so than that, have no one wanting to, I shouldn't say, have the people who are supposed to be wanting to help solve it and provide answers are not living up to what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. She is practically begging for the FBI to take it over. She sees an article saying they've officially taken over the case. It's just, I can't.
Yeah.
Because that's all she wants. That's right. All that they want.
Right.
And I don't know.
On November 10th, there was a post on Facebook about a phone lead. Because at this point, his phone had not been found. It was still missing.
That was like the big missing key. A lot of people were like, if we can find that, we'll have a lot more information.
The post came from a Facebook user named Brian Dew, and that might be wrong, but it's spelled D-I-E-U.
Sorry, Brian.
Quote, "So my worker was driving on the interstate and lost something, pulled over to pick it up. He finds this phone, then takes it to Walmart to get money. Few days later, private investors..."
Investors. He put investors. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. "Private investigators are getting a hold of him. Come to find out it was Jelani Day's phone, body found from Bloomington. Of course they had to confiscate phones. Man, swear it's always something. Move to a small town to avoid trouble and nonsense. Never fails to follow."
I have a few things to say about this really
End
quick.
Quote. Yes.
Number one, what he means by he took it to Walmart to get money, his coworker that found the phone on the interstate, he took it to Walmart to like exchange it at one of those kiosks where you put the phone in. I think it's a machine. You put the phone in and you get the money.
Yeah, I was unclear about that. I didn't even know that that existed. Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, why is that the first thing that you decide to do with it?
Right.
You know?
And
I mean, some people are just like that, I guess.
Yeah.
Which, whatever, but it sucks. But that's like your first thought?
Yeah, it's surprising. No, it isn't surprising, but it still is. Yeah. It sucks.
And then one more thing. The end of his post says, "Man, swear it's always something. Move to a small town to avoid trouble and nonsense never fails to follow." He didn't even find it.
No.
His coworker find. Well, so what is he talking about?
Well, I feel like this Mr. Brian really tried to make this about himself.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Mr. Brian, but you didn't die.
No.
Your life was not taken from you.
No.
You're still living. You're able to make a Facebook post. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I felt like Mr. Brian's Facebook post was just in really poor judgment.
He just wanted some clout.
Yeah. And
like,
it just,
look at
it
me.
Was, it's just not, it's not cool. It's no. not it. On November 11th, the family had posted that they had not confirmed the phone belonged to Jelani yet. Later that day, Carmen did an interview with Newsy and clarified the rumors. The phone was found on October 17th.
Mm-hmm.
Weeks before Carmen knew about it. It was found completely shattered. Carmen was not informed of the phone being found for between 2 and 3 weeks after it was found. The police said that they did not want to tell her until they knew for sure if it was Jelani's phone or not. They then asked Carmen, once they knew it was Jelani's, if they'd rather them hand it over to the FBI, and Carmen unequivocally said yes. On November 14th, it was confirmed the phone did in fact belong to Jelani. A series of emails came out through the pantograph, who requested all emails containing Jelani's name through the Freedom of Information Act. They requested emails from August to October of 2021 that were sent by county officials. They got 290 pages with a lot of information. More than 20 agencies had roles in Jelani Day's case. And there's a list of all of the departments online somewhere. I'm not going to list them all, but I just found that to be interesting.
Mm-hmm. 290 pages, that's a lot.
It's a lot of email correspondence,
right,
about Jelani.
On December 3rd, 2021, there was also a post on the Facebook page that the family had lawyered up and hired Ben Crump. Ben Crump Law posted on Instagram, quote, "Nationally renowned civil rights attorney Ben Crump and co-counsel Beivory Lamar will hold a news conference on Friday, December 3rd to demand that the FBI have exclusive control over the investigation into the death of Jelani Day. Day's body was discovered nearly 100 days ago on September 4th. Unlike the Gabby Petito case, in which a young white woman was missing and later found murdered, Day's case has received significantly less attention, revealing a deeply concerning disparity in the way missing persons cases are treated and covered for people of color." So it does seem like since the Day family hired Ben Crump as their attorney, that little things are starting to happen here and there. There was a joint task force created that involves the LaSalle County Sheriff's Office, the Bloomington Police Department, the Peru Police Department, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Chicago Division, City of LaSalle Police Department, Illinois State Police, and the Illinois Attorney General's Office. According to WCSJ News, which is, hello, that's our local reporter, Justin Ritz.
Yeah, that's our local our local reporting station. Mm-hmm.
According to them, the Jelani Day Joint Task Force is engaging in a coordinated, nationwide, multi-platform social media campaign to identify new leads, including supplementing forensic analytics and technological investigative techniques already in use. That's a lot of words. I don't know.
That is a lot of words.
And if they are just kind of like
putting
scared
words together,
that they lawyered up.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
being like, oh, this is what we're doing.
Right.
And we've, no one's going to question it because they're big words.
Exactly. We've made a task force. I don't know. Yeah. I would like to think no, but
right,
I'm very skeptical at this point because they have not showed a whole lot of motivation.
Right.
In the case. And can I just say, we live, 45 minutes, an hour, something like that, from where Jelani's body was found in the river.
Mm-hmm.
I never once heard about this on the news, and I'm sure that it was reported on at some point.
Right.
But you would think that this would be every single day.
Yeah.
People talking about this, wanting to give updates, giving updates, hearing about it.
Yeah.
The only reason I knew about this was from Cruel and Unusual, our group on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking because we knew the other case. It was getting so much attention.
Yeah. You would think that at least here where we live, it would have been a bigger deal.
And it would be a bigger deal.
And down in Bloomington, Normal, we have friends. And I know that there have been a lot of marches, even more than the ones that we mentioned, and demonstrations and...
But
there was a
again,
beautiful, beautiful mural
that
someone painted of Jelani down there.
And did you know that got taken down?
Yeah, it got taken down. I think it was moved somewhere else.
It's supposedly they were looking for a spot the last I knew about it.
Yeah.
But then again, the marches and the demonstrating and things, those aren't done by the police.
Right.
Those are still done by Jelani's friends, his family members, community activists, which is, that's incredible.
Yeah.
But the people who are being paid to do this job should be doing it.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully there is a lot going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. As of now, we don't know anything that might have been recovered off of his cell phone.
No. That hasn't been public knowledge yet, as we're recording this.
And I still think that if they can get those records, that it might at least tell us why he went to La Salle, Peru. Because that's a big question.
Right.
Why did he go there?
Perhaps there was a text in his phone.
Right.
A phone call from a number in the area. I feel like that would be giving the family a lot of these missing pieces that they are so desperately searching for.
Yeah.
So getting back to our timeline, on December 13th, the FBI Chicago Press Office announced that the Jelani Day Joint Task Force was all of a sudden offering up their own reward. So this is not Carmen and her family's $25,000 plus reward. This is a different reward of up to $10,000 for substantial information regarding Jelani's last hours that would, quote unquote, be leading to new witnesses or evidence.
And I don't want to sound like a nitpicking weirdo, but like up to $10,000.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. That can be a lot of money to some people, but right. I feel like to them, that's not that much.
No.
Up to, if someone's got good information that leads to something
right.
substantial, it better be not up to 10, it better be $10,000.
Right, because up to 10,000 could be $1.
Yeah, why even put that on there?
It's just like so just stop. Disheartening.
Stop.
So there was a post on December 13th put up on the Facebook page, and it said, quote, "The FBI is not leading anything involving the death of my son. I have not been contacted by the FBI. That reward is a smokescreen. We already had a reward. There have been no additional resources or information from the agencies listed on that press release. Let me just summarize some things. On August 25th, the multi-jurisdictional unit was formed. On October 17th, Jelani's phone was found on I-74. On November 11th, I discovered via social media my son's phone was found. So weeks after, as we said, she actually found out not from the police, but she found out on social media that it was found. On December 1st, announced that attorney Ben Crump was my family's attorney. On December 1st, the multi-jurisdictional unit came out with a press release via LaSalle County that they would be releasing additional developments in the case of Jelani Day by Friday, December 10th. On December 10th, per the multi-jurisdictional unit, no developments to be released, and per Peru Police Department, that was a statement made by LaSalle Police Department. They had no comment nor any information, so no, that never happened.
I remember when that happened, and I was excited to see what it was going to be, and then it just didn't fucking happen.
Right, there was nothing. On December 13th, the multi-jurisdictional unit now has a new name, Jelani Day Joint Task Force, and the Federal Bureau of Investigations is supposedly offering a reward of $10,000. Please note that this reward offered by them now solidifies that they now agree that foul play did in fact contribute to my son's demise. This was not a suicide. Also, the energy and effort now being placed into finding the perpetrators that committed this heinous crime against me and my family is appreciated, but it's not enough. I will never be pacified by a non-verbal acknowledgement, nor will I settle for anything less than the FBI fully taking over this investigation. This has been complete torture. I'm not interested in any social media campaign conducted by these agencies. Per their press release, this is a nationwide campaign, meaning it crossed state lines. So please make it make sense why the FBI cannot take over something that is nationwide, that per the press release, they're sponsoring and offering a reward for a case that they're only assisting with. Make it make sense. I know some of you will think I'm unappreciative, that I should find some solace in the fact that they're now doing something. Well, I'm not. I find no comfort or even a sense of peace at this time, and I don't care if that's your position, because until you walk this walk, nobody can tell me how to feel. It's December, 106 days since my son was last seen alive. The 30 days I suffered with the unknown before they identified the body was his, with no urgency of finding who did this, no urgency of who left my son face down in that river in that sundown town, was unbearable. I manifested, prayed, and hoped for a better outcome, and I was disregarded and disrespected. And now, to add insult to injury, they come out with a task force in my son's namesake and offer a reward, something that should have been done months ago. I know they're reading this and I don't care. You will all respect Jelani. You will all respect me and the family of Jelani Day. He was not your ordinary, stereotypical young black male. I'm not your stereotypical black mother. I want answers. I expect answers. I expect you all to do your jobs. Find out what happened to my baby. Find out what happened to Jelani Day. End quote.
So unfortunately, this case doesn't get wrapped up neatly. That's where it stands right now. Carmen and Jelani's family is still begging the FBI to take over this case. No one understands why they won't do it. And we don't know anything else.
There's nothing else.
Like I said, we don't know anything about his cell phone. We don't know why all of his things were found in different places, why his car was by those trees, or how he made it into the Illinois River.
As they said, there are really so many more questions than answers. The only thing we know is that Jelani is deceased.
Yeah.
That's really it.
And that he had his whole life ahead of him, and it fucking sucks. It's not fair.
And it's not fair, the lack of coverage, when so many other people are afforded so much airtime.
Mm-hmm.
In those critical 48 hours, or even the days and weeks,
yeah,
you know, after. It's been months now, and I still have yet to see anything.
No updates.
Nothing.
Which is why his family has not only had to fight so hard, but that's also where we go for updates, because we're not being updated by the police.
Right, exactly. And you know what? It isn't his family's job to update us on it.
Right.
His family should be allowed to grieve and to mourn his loss and to remember the amazing things that he had done in his very short lifetime. But instead, they are having to form search parties and go door to door and beg to be on the media and on TV and go on talk shows. And none of this has been handed to them. Mm-mm. They've had to fight every single step of the way. And like you said earlier, I don't know how Carmen does it. I don't know how his family does it. I know that I would not be strong enough.
No.
And I just hope so much that this is not a case that goes cold, and that his family gets the answers that they deserve and that Jelani deserves in their lifetime. And it's not something that just is disregarded and swept under the rug, because Jelani was a person and he deserves, and his family deserves, answers.
If you know anything about what happened to Jelani or had contact with Jelani in the days and weeks before his disappearance, please contact Bloomington Police Detective Paul Jones at 309-434-2548 or email him at pjones@cityblm.org. You can email the family's private investigator at believeaups@yahoo.com or call them at 618-223-0044. You can anonymously report information to the Jelani Day Joint Task Force at 1-800-CALL-FBI. Jelani's family is offering their cash reward of $25,000. There's the $10,000 FBI reward. And recently, the fraternity that Jelani was a member of also put up $15,000. It's over $50,000 altogether. So as of right now, Jelani's family has still not been contacted by the FBI, and they're still pushing for them to take over Jelani's case. And that's it.
That's all we have.
We also wanted to take a moment to highlight another case that's happening right now that in many ways parallels Jelani's case. Lauren Smith Fields was a brilliant black woman, and her case isn't getting much traction either. On December 12th, 2021, 23-year-old Lauren Smith Fields was found deceased in her Bridgeport, New York home after a Bumble date with an older white man. This man's identity is unknown to the public at this time, and the Bridgeport Police Department has stated that this man doesn't need to be investigated despite him being the last person to see Lauren alive. According to thesun.com, this unidentified man was the person to alert authorities about Lauren's death, but he still hasn't been taken in for questioning.
Which is also just weird, because normally anyone who reports a death, a homicide, mm-hmm. potential homicide like that, or the last known person to be with someone who right. is deceased, would be thoroughly looked into.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why he's not. I don't know. An autopsy has been completed, but the medical examiner has not released their findings to the public. Just looking at this from an outside perspective sounds suspicious. Like, who the hell was this man? How are the police so sure that he's not responsible for Lauren's death in one way or another?
Right, with no investigation mm-hmm. into right. him. Right.
So you can only imagine how Lauren's family feels. They claim that not only are they not getting the answers they want and need from the police, but they are also being treated horribly and unprofessionally by them. Lauren's father, Everett, told reporters, quote, "The only contact that we have had was from a very insensitive, condescending, and arrogant detective," end quote. Lauren's brother, Lakeem Jeter, said the family has asked about this older white man during conversations with Bridgeport police, and it's said that they, quote, "made it seem like the guy was a nice guy, and there was nothing to investigate," end quote.
It makes me think that he has ties to someone.
Yeah, that's a rumor that's going kind of swirling right now, is that he might have an in with the police department one way or another.
Right.
We just really don't know, but I don't give a fuck how nice he is. I don't care. And so Lauren's family has paid out of pocket for their own independent autopsy. As far as I can tell, the findings from this second autopsy haven't been made public yet, and we still don't know the cause or manner of Lauren's death. Quote, "Without a doubt, we know that my daughter was not a drug user. I had a second autopsy myself paid out of pocket because we felt so uncomfortable with the way that it was handled," said her dad, Everett. He also added that the family hasn't been given even basic courtesies by the police, and that they were told to stop calling. Stop calling about your dead daughter.
So disgusting. And inhumane.
Yeah.
It's just like, how do you treat someone who was going through the loss of their loved yeah. one?
It's like, do you know something that the parents don't?
Right.
And then if you do, why they shouldn't be calling?
Right.
Then tell them.
Right.
Lauren's mom, Chantel, said, quote, "It's killing me inside. I miss my baby. I'm going to cry.
I know, I can't.
Life is not the same. I don't know who I'm going to be after this." That, end quote. That part really got me. I don't know who I'm going to be after this.
And it's so true.
It's just it's like, just compounded with all of this bullshit.
Right. And it's so unfair to lose their child in the first place and then to not have answers in the second place. Yeah. And then thirdly, to be treated like they're scum.
Yeah.
And like they don't deserve answers.
According to Councilwoman Maria Pereira, Chantel wrote an extensive, detailed email to the Bridgeport PD pushing for answers, and she hasn't received a response. It's also worth noting that the dating site Bumble has been loudly silent.
Which is disgusting.
Yeah, about Lauren's case. I get that the people at Bumble are not investigators. I understand that there are privacy laws, whatever. But they have a huge platform. And I right. feel like the least they could do is release a statement.
Right. A statement yeah. is not going, it's not violating privacy. They could say, hey, this is what happened. Yeah. If you live in yeah. the area and you have seen someone or maybe you've been on a date with a man.
Right.
And he seemed suspicious to you.
Right. A lot of people are calling them out for like not vetting these men yeah. enough, which, okay, yeah. But right now, something that they can do right now is make a statement and help them get traction.
Right. Because I haven't heard of this.
No. She was found dead at 23 years old after meeting a guy on their app.
Right.
And they're acting like it didn't happen.
Right.
In an older tweet, Bumble stated, quote, "Bumble is women founded and women led. And from day one, we've stood up for the most vulnerable," end quote. They were speaking on the Senate Bill 8, Texas's asinine abortion bill. But if you want to stand up for all women, stand up for Lauren, Bumble.
Right.
Hello.
Something that is directly, something that seems or appears to be as a direct result mm-hmm. after using your app.
Yeah.
You would think that yeah. they wouldn't be hypocrites.
I know.
And they would say, just at the very least, make a statement that doesn't take anything out right. of you. And it does not violate any codes or laws.
I've been watching their Instagram and Twitter. I haven't seen anything. Maybe they have by now. I don't think that they have, but
yeah. But as of January 2nd of 2022, they have not.
Bottom line, they need to speak up a little bit. Do better. So since the family is conducting their own investigation into Lauren's death, they need help. The biggest way to help is to donate to their GoFundMe if you can, because hiring PIs and obtaining an independent autopsy is expensive.
Yeah.
So we're going to link the GoFundMe in the show notes and on social media. We're going to link Jelani's GoFundMe too.
And just so you know, I don't believe that I actually had it in there, but there have been multiple fake Jelani Day GoFundMe. So we will make sure that we link you in the show notes and on social media to the actual one that the family has posted on the Justice for Jelani Day Facebook page.
Yeah. And please check out Lauren's GoFundMe too. They're not anywhere close to their goal. So they really, really need our help. And the other thing that you can do to help is just to get loud about these cases on social media. Just like Jelani's case, there is not hour by hour exhaustive coverage. There's no massive investigation, and there just isn't enough. And that's what I've got.
Okay, so now for those of you who stuck around to the end of the episode,
Thank you.
We are definitely going to be doing things differently now as we have revamped everything and we're coming back bigger and better than ever.
Not faster, though.
No, not faster. We'll never be faster. Like we said, we really want to have the bulk of our episodes be based solely on the topic of that episode. And then also, we will still be doing reading, watching, listening, but we'll be doing it at the end like we normally do, and we'll have very, very, very limited before the episode chatting.
Mm-hmm. We had to also think of ways to prevent burnout because that's essentially what happened.
Right. And that insane pressure to always have an episode every single Thursday or have to come up with a reason why we didn't, even if it was just because we were busy.
Right.
We felt like we were letting people down. And I'm sure that we were. I'm sure that there were people who were disappointed, but that cannot be something that we feel so deeply.
It might mean that we don't put an episode out every single week. It might mean that they're not always going to be on Thursdays. We'll keep you updated on social media, you know, with what's going on with new episodes. We want to make sure that we can give our all to these important cases and not just half-ass shit to get an episode out.
Exactly. So if it takes us 2 or 3 weeks to do research on one in particular case, that's how long we're going to go in between episodes. Mm-hmm. And that's because we want to give our absolute best and all of our time and attention to every single thing that we put out.
Right. And we have to be true to ourselves and actually listen to ourselves and be grown-up girls.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not feeling something, we have to reevaluate. That's just how it is. So
right.
We hope you understand. We think you will because you've all been awesome while we've been gone.
And I love the little comments and the messages and things that we've gotten, like, where are you? Mm-hmm. What am I going to do with my life now? I think that it's so cute. And I think that it's amazing that you guys actually take time out of your lives to listen to us talk about cases.
Mm-hmm. And for sticking by us, that's really awesome that you guys didn't give up on us after we just abruptly left your life and disappointed you. Don't worry, because no one will ever be as disappointed in me as my mother. So
so with all of that being said, our format will go as we get right into the episodes. And today we will not be doing reading, watching, and listening. We feel like we're just getting back into the swing of things today.
We're taking baby steps, taking it slow.
But we'll get back into that when we come out with our next episode.
I think it's time to say ta-ta for now.
Okay, happy Thor Day, you guys.
Happy Thor Day. How cute. We missed you. Thank you for... The dog is being loud.
I'm sorry.
Thank you for being here.
And please share about both Jelani and Lauren. We have posts on social media that you can share. Copy and paste it. We don't care. But just please, please help spread the word about them for them and their families.
You know where to find us, right?
They should by now.
You should by now. You can find us on Instagram at Cruel and Unusual the Pod. Our Facebook group is Cruel and Unusual : the group.
I don't remember what our Twitter is.
Have you ever remembered our Twitter?
No.
Nar.
Okay. I tweet at Cruel Unusual Pod.
And you can send us an email if you have a case suggestion or just want to tell us about your day.
Life,
you
can do whatever.
That. Yeah. You can do that at cruelandunusualthepod@gmail.com.
And I think that's all. You'll find us if you want us.
All there is. there isn't any more. I love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.